Okay, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before. I am glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thank you. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 078 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on June 17th, Father's Day in the States. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. So how was your week? Well, I have a mini report despite not attending the Les Paul birthday gala. It was a huge success, and here's what I hear through the museum's press release. I have not yet had an opportunity to interview Tom Dunn or Dr. Charlie Carreras. But the news I get is that it was held on June 9th, obviously, in honor of what would have been Les Paul's 97th birthday, and they're calling it a huge success. 300 guests attended to celebrate Les Paul Day in Mahwah at the Trustees Pavilion at Ramapo College. Guests were entertained by musicians Lou Palo and members of the Les Paul Trio, Tommy Doyle and Sandy Corey, Vanilla Fudge, Trey Novo, and Stan McFarland. Now, that's an amazing lineup for an event that had such a small entrance. Let's call it an entrance donation, because the money went to scholarship and to the library. It was not a moneymaker. It was strictly, totally nonprofit. A birthday cake created by Sandra Gilman was made after a life-size Fender Stratocaster guitar, so that must have been beautiful. I'm surprised they didn't get the cake boss in on that. I'm sure he would have done it in a heartbeat. The winners were announced for the raffle of two Les Paul autographed guitars. The winner of the Stratocaster signed by Les Paul and Steve Miller was Joe Shar of Boonton, and that's Boonton, New Jersey, for you non-New Jerseyites. The winner of the Stratocaster signed by Les Paul, the Les Paul Trio, and other musicians was Scott Loveless of Paramus, that's also here in New Jersey, very nearby, who generously donated the guitar back to the Mahwah Museum for its exhibit and for the exhibit that will be remaining there permanently. That was an amazing thing. I don't know if I would have been able to do that or would have even had the presence of mind to donate it. It's a good idea. Anyway, the gala's silent auction, live auction, and raffle benefited the Mahwah Museum. The Mahwah Museum Society would like to thank Ramapo College, all of the fabulous musicians, auction and raffle participants, Jim Wysocki, Ronnie Gantz, Mitch Kahn, donors and friends for their generosity and support. And on their behalf, I want to thank you for your tolerance as I have mentioned the Les Paul festivities since September weekly, I think, without interruption. And I do want to remind you that the museum is at 201 Franklin Turnpike in Mahwah, and it's open through June 30th on Wednesdays and weekends from 1 to 5 p.m. And then they will be open Sunday, 1 to 5 p.m. through July 29th. So not only do you have more times you can visit, but if you go during this month, before June 30th, you're going to be able to, again, I want to remind you, see the full Les Paul exhibit, which takes half the museum right now. After that, it is going to diminish significantly. So I'm hoping to have a wrap-up interview with Dr. Carreras or Tom Dunn in the next week or so about the gala and the precise changes that are coming to the exhibit at the end of June. And I will have those interviews, provided they haven't taken off on vacations now that the hard work of the gala is behind them. And really the only nuts and bolts things literally that have to be done is disassembling that exhibit and reducing it and positioning it at the end of the month. So that's a big thing. I'm sure they're both going to be there supervising, so they might indeed have taken a little bit of getaway time. But if possible, I will have interviews with them next week, I hope. Last week for me was a great week. no health issues, and except for a few students who were traveling, I had an opportunity to see all of my students. For a couple of them, as last week's podcast memorialized, it was sayonara. After this week, I will slide into my summer schedule, which couldn't be more welcome. I will probably teach one less day than during the academic year, and frankly, I am ready for it. It's been a hard academic school year, and I'm really ready for an extra day off each week. That isn't to say I won't be working after a manner on those days off. I just won't be out in the field teaching. I have some modifying of the guitartechniquetutor.com website to do, not in any major way. Last summer was a major overhaul. This summer, just a little bit of house cleaning and server optimizing, I would say. I also have some musical and personal projects I'd like to make headway on. And if this summer is like previous ones, I'll also be welcoming in some new students to my schedule. So that's what I'll be looking forward to starting next week. Last week also, I sent Tina Holmes in Bristol, England, a few pics for her collection, and she received them in record time. You can follow her on Twitter, where she's Tina's Pics, TinasPicks. Her website is tinaspicks.com. If you're a guitarist of a certain age, or you just like seeing a lot of pics, you will be staggered at the collection she's amassed. For me, it was a trip down memory lane. I saw pics on her site that I remember seeing at the music store where I took my guitar lessons in the subterranean part of the store. And I remember my teacher, and I do this with my students now, my teacher was adamant about me trying a variety of picks. So at my first or second lesson, we went upstairs together and I bought a whole slew and arrangement of pick shapes, thicknesses, sizes, and whatnot. And I saw some on Tina's site that I remember sampling. I disregarded them because they weren't what I liked, but I saw some old dogs there. There are also some amazing and unique picks. So if you want to eat up a little time and if you've played a while, have a trip down memory lane, or if you're just interested in seeing what kind of vast array of picks Tina's accumulated, you can check it out on her website, tinaspicks.com. Also, I'm just going to put in a good word for her. If you friend her on Twitter or follow her, rather, on Twitter, if you have some pics that you want to send her, I'm sure she'd be happy to have them. But take a look and make sure she doesn't already have them. She's got quite an array. The truth is, I had about three of Les Paul's handmade pics in my possession, which were given to me by Dr. Carreras before the Les Paul exhibit opened. And I went digging around to find them, and I found one of them. And because I can only find one, right now I'm keeping it for myself. But if I can find any of the others, I'll be glad to send her one of them. And I'm sure it will be the only one of its kind that she'll have. So, Tina, I'm looking for it, but I don't know where it is. I thought they were all together in one place, but I found one in a little plastic baggie. And I know I have a couple of others, so if I can locate them, I will definitely send one over to you. Now, the question of the hour that you regular listeners probably have is, did I finally get to change my strings? And yes, I finally changed my strings. Can you hear me smiling? So all of the guitars have DRs that are fairly recent on them, and that makes me such a happy person. I'll probably have to do another string change in July. Just for now, everything sounds beautiful, and I can't walk past my guitars on the wall without pulling one of them down and playing for a while. I have a ton to do this week, so I might have been well advised to hold off on the string change one more week, but I didn't. So now that my schedule will be slowing down, I'm thinking about going over to DR and doing an interview with them for the show. I mention them every week, and they're really local to me, so I'm going to have to see when a sufficient amount of crew will be on hand and not at some music festival or traveling or doing some kind of promotion, And I'm going to try to get myself over there this summer and have a chat with them and bring you something live from DR. In the show this week, there's one student in the student spotlight. The question of the week is from Luis in Australia again. Other than my guitar students, I think he's the this is the first time I've had a repeat inquirer. His question is about how to cope with his multiple types of guitars. News is about the Taylor Find Your Fit events happening all over from July 9th to August 24th. And this week's Take Note segment is about monthly contests to win cool things from Epiphone. So without any further delay, let's move along to this week's Student Spotlight. In the warm glow of the Student Spotlight this week is Lanny. Do you see how amazing your playing was at your lesson after all the regular practice time you invested, my dear? It was awesome. Lanny had a little difficulty getting back in the groove and in the habit of practicing after returning from a rather long family trip to South Africa. On Thursday, her playing was starkly different. She was well prepared and played excellently. Lanny has tremendous potential, and right now she is my youngest student, extremely musical, and she's very bright. If she stays with it, there's a high likelihood that you will be hearing great things about her in the coming years. She has all the earmarks of becoming an excellent and accomplished musician. So, Lanny, you did a beautiful job. Keep up the great work. Now, let's move along to this week's question of the week. This week's question is from Luis in Australia again. Thanks for your follow-up email, Luis. He hasn't yet found an instructor. Here's an excerpt from his email, which contains his question. Now realize Luis, if you're listening, I've edited this a bit to just take the meat of the question. So here's the excerpt. I own a classical Yamaha and an electric Squire for several years. These guitars are in a stand where I can pick them up and play at any time. About a year ago, I decided to buy a better instrument, and I also wanted an acoustic steel. So after trying some from Martin, Takamine, Maton, etc., I tried a Taylor 414 CE. Wow, I fell in love with it. I really like to look after my instruments, so my Taylor is always in its case, and also because being solid wood, I have to watch out for the humidity. I end up playing the classical Yamaha much more often because it's there right in front of me. What happens is when I play the Taylor, I have to kind of readapt to the slimmer neck, steel strings, etc. I love it, but I was just wondering, what would be your recommendation as a teacher? Should I, quote, hide the other guitars to improve my playing on my steel strings Taylor? As I understand, you own many guitars, so how do you cope with these differences? Okay, so, you know, and I know Luis and I are not alone in that we have more than one instrument. So, the moment I touched a guitar, I knew it was the instrument I was searching for, and that was going to satisfy me. And it did for me what the piano didn't, which I had been trying to learn without great success, not because of lack of musical zeal, but because I didn't mesh with my instructor and it just wasn't the instrument for me. So I touched a guitar, I knew it was for me, and I began lessons on a cheap, not even cheap, a poor quality guitar. As I recall, it was a nylon string guitar and had those black labella ball end folk singer strings on it. Shortly thereafter, I got a steel string American-made Epiphone. I think the model was a Caballero, and I think that was the vintage model is FT30. And it featured a mahogany construction and tortoise-bound 00 body size. It was really a perfect size for a young female. The scale was great. There was a rosewood fretboard, ebony bridge. It was a great guitar. And it had also a great neck profile. Then my instructor introduced me to classical guitar via a recording he gave me at Christmas time. I immediately loved the complexity of the music and the harmonic richness of hearing non-adjacent strings sounded together. That was nothing less than intoxicating to me. So a classical guitar was added to my collection. And my acoustic instructor referred me to one of his friends who was a classical guitar student studying at Manus College of Music in Manhattan, and he became my additional guitar instructor. So I had two teachers, and I played on two instruments with great dedication and zeal. They both taught at the same studio, so I scheduled lessons back-to-back with my two teachers. After the second lesson, I had to revise that schedule. The transition from one guitar to the other took a toll on my skill on the acoustic, which was the second lesson. I reversed the order of the lessons, which the other students were nice enough to accommodate me with. I mean, this was a very busy music studio, and it was really nice that they were so gracious. It was still no good. So the result was taking my classical lesson, then having a half-hour break during which I did some exercises and scales, etc., in a practice room, and then taking my acoustic lesson. And that worked for me until I took it down eventually to only one of those instructors a few years later. So I hear you, Luis, about the adjustment going from your Yamaha Classical to the gorgeous Taylor. It's obvious that you enjoy a variety of genres as a musician, and I think that's great. Keep your musical experience broad, and your style of playing each genre will develop more nuances and individuality. So I don't want to discourage you from playing a variety of guitars. So what do I recommend? Depending on what you're working on and or want to learn or like to play, I think my best advice to you would be to stagger the days that you play the different guitars. If the Squire, for example, and this is just an example, if the Squire is the least played, I would slate that one to be played on whatever day in your week that you have just a short while to play. That is, if there are electric things you're working on or enjoy playing right now. If it's not of particular interest for a particular reason, you might want to just leave it out in the stand so you can admire it. Or perhaps put it in its case or in a gig bag until there's something you really, really want to do with it. If your interest or the volume of things you want to play or practice on the remaining two guitars is equal, alternate the days you play them. You have to compromise somewhere, and I think the compromise of playing one week or for 3 or 4 days and then switching and playing the other for a week or 3 or 4 days may just cost you a little bit too much in slow improvement and optimum recall or memory or whatever you want to call that thing that happens when we pick up an instrument after we've practiced it recently and you've got some gain there. If my suggestion is workable, I think that the overnight break will allow you to adjust to whatever neck you're playing on at the time you're playing it. If you're not already playing warm-ups regularly, this is a great case to make for the playing of them. When you switch instruments, it's usually the first experience of your playing session that's going to cause your fingers and your reflexes to align in a particular way. So if you've played your Taylor one day and the next day you get ready to play your Yamaha Classical, I would suggest before you launch right into a piece, do some warm-ups. I don't know if you're playing scales. You may have mentioned them in a former email, but I'm not looking at it right now. There are certain exercises and things that guitarists of every stripe should be doing, whether they're speed studies or coordination studies or scales or intervals or stretching exercises. And if you do that first when you sit down to play and you stagger what guitar you're playing each day, I think you're not going to have that big issue. I think it's much more pronounced when you sit down and play the Yamaha for an hour and then pick up the Taylor and feel like your, especially your judgment of where each string is, that's probably where you're having a problem, is getting your pick on the right string. It could also have to do with your fingering on the neck, but see if this doesn't help you. I'm going to make a suggestion to you, Luis, that might shock you, because like you, I too take very good care of my guitars. But I'm going to make the suggestion anyway. I know you spent a lot on the Taylor as far as money went. But as you say, you don't have any problem with your home being too dry for your guitars. I suggest that if you don't have a big dog or little children, are you sitting down? Leave it out in the stand. It's a beautiful instrument. If it might come to inadvertent harm by a pet or a child, maybe you'd consider getting a really good quality guitar wall hanger, and it doesn't have to be expensive to be good quality, just that the guitar is not going to fall out of it, and hang it up. So it will be a beautiful part of your decor, and it'll be handy, and maybe it'll even whisper your name when you walk by it, and you'll perhaps even play it more. If you do keep it out, whether in a stand or hanging from a wall, there is a product I recommend, and I spoke about this in one of my June 2011 shows. The product that I have right now is called Clean Green Microfiber Glove. And I purchased it in a hardware store of all places. The brand of this product is unimportant. I keep the glove handy for any guitars that are in a stand or might get hung on the wall. Once a week, go over the entire surface of the guitar with the glove. That will take care of any settling dust, residue from any cooking steam that was in the house, or shower steam if your guitars are near the shower, or, you know, if anybody uses aerosol hair products in your house and the guitar and it wafts through the air, it might settle on the guitar. Our apartment is teeny, really, really, really small. And because of my multiple hanging guitars' proximity to the kitchen, I lay them on our bed in our bedroom when I'm frying anything, and I wipe them down whenever I play. And also, every Saturday, I give all of them a good cleaning with the microfiber glove. It's a great glove for your fine furniture, too, so it's not like it would be a waste of money. It's great for getting in crevices and small areas, for example, in maybe a dining room chair if it's wood and it's got carving in the back and or openings. This glove is great for dusting better than a dust rag, and you don't need any wax or anything. So, Luis, let me and the listeners know if this staggered playing plan is feasible, and if once you begin it, let us know how it works for you. It may require you to carve out a little bit more playing time on some days just so you don't have long gaps between guitars. But whoever suffered from a little more guitar time? Nobody I know. So if you have a question you'd like me to address on the podcast, please email it to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. That's GUITARTECHNIQUE. @gmail.com. If I use your question, I will be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. And by the way, Luis, enjoy your trip to Brazil. I hope you have a great time and that I'll be hearing from you when you get back. Now, it's time for this week's news. In the news this week is something interesting from our friends at Taylor Guitars, Find Your Fit this summer. They've scheduled more than 60 Find Your Fit sales events in North America for this summer, so if they make it your way, they hope you'll visit your local Taylor dealer for a personal consultation with their factory experts. They'll be happy to answer any questions you have about finding the tailor model that is right for you and offer personal recommendations based on your player profile. Together with this summer's interest-free financing program, it might be the perfect time to bring a new tailor home. So I'm going to link to their Tailor Guitars website page that has Find Your Fit. Now, besides this event, the enhancement of the 12-month interest-free financing to consumers is fabulous. So for players dreaming of their next Tailor guitar, the return of a sweet financing program will make their ears just happy, happy, happy. Tailor has once again partnered with GE Capital to offer customers 0% interest on the purchase of select new Tailor guitar models if paid in full within 12 months. The program runs from June 1st through August 31st, 2012. So, offered through participating authorized Tailor dealers, the financing program is available to qualified buyers in the U.S. and applies to many Tailor models, including all 500 series acoustic, 5 series models and up, including specialty models. Select limited editions, T5 standard and custom models, all T3 models, all solid body models, build to order models, and presentation series models. So if there's a tailor in your future, and especially if you're not sure what the best axe is for you, find the closest event to your town or city. In my case, I have 2 events in 15 miles or closer to my home. I also suggest that if you have an instructor who would consider attending the event with you, take them. I always assist my students when they purchase guitars. They're going to have to live with them for the foreseeable future, and indirectly, I will also have to live with them for the foreseeable future. So it's in both of our interests for me to help them select their next guitar. So I hope that was helpful. I hope some of you are salivating Tailor saliva and will visit these events. Now, let's move on to this week's Take Notes segment. In this week's Take Note, I have a great announcement. Epiphone monthly contests are back. Each month, our good friends at Epiphone will be holding a contest in which great guitars or excellent gear items will be won by a participant. Of course, do this with a parent or guardian if you are less than 18 years old. I read over the contest rules, and they are legit and quite ordinary. I mean, the Epiphone / Gibson brand is not going to do anything terrible with your information, and they're on the up and up. They would not risk the reputation of their businesses with a bogus contest entry form. So there are no substitutions if you win. Don't you like the sound of that? I should say when you win, there are no substitutions, and of course, you're not the winner unless you provide eligibility credentials after you win. And they're very basic. I mean, you know, unless you're an axe murderer who has escaped from the penitentiary, you have the credentials you need to win. Unless you're underage, then you don't win. The retail value of this month's prize is $999. So what's the prize this month specifically? Glad you asked. To win this month's contest, which will be, the guitar will be an Epiphone Dave Navarro Jane signature model, you have to enter by June 30th. Now, I'm recording on the 17th, so that leaves you a week plus. I'd play it safe and do it by the 29th, the latest date you should ever do this, because, you know, you could be in a funny area code or rather time zone, and you surely wouldn't want to be disqualified for being 25 minutes over because of what time zone you're in. So, you know, definitely get it done by the 29th, even though the 30th is the cutoff date. From his groundbreaking work with Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers, Dave Navarro's six-string skills have made him one of alternative rock's first true guitar heroes. Fill out Gibson's entry form for your chance to win Dave's solid Sitka Spruce Top signature model with Epiphone's eSonic preamp system. If you're a Dave Navarro fan or just want a nice new Jane, this contest might just get that guitar for you. That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 078. Let's go to the outro now and wrap this baby up. I hope you were able to go to the Les Paul birthday bash if you were in the area. And congratulations to Joe Shar and Scott Loveless on their wins. And thank you, Scott, for your kindness in donating the Les Paul that you won, excuse me, the Les Paul signed Stratocaster you won back to the museum. I don't know if I would have been that thoughtful. Don't forget to visit the Les Paul and Mawa exhibit in the coming 2 weeks to see the full scope before it's reduced. If you want to see the cool picks in Tina Holmes' collection in Bristol, England, check them out at tinaspicks.com. Congrats and fabulous playing to Lanny. When you are so blessed as to have a few different types of guitars with very different neck profiles and string setups to play, you may want to try playing alternate days if you find it challenging to transition from one to another. If you're in the market for a tailor, perhaps a Find Your Fit event around North America will help you sort through the choices more efficiently and accurately. Be on the alert. Epiphone is having monthly contests. This month, if you're 18 or older, you might win a Dave Navarro Jane Signature Series guitar. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 078 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, which is G-U-I-T-A-R TechniqueTutor.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note there's no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your question for the question of the week segment, and if I use it, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not a tweeting maniac. I tweet to update anyone following me and retweet what I think is interesting of the things that I follow. On my homepage and on my podcast page, you will find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways and or to subscribe to show notes by email or by a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mawa, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is the best, and my number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. And congratulations to all of my students who are graduating from middle school and high school. You are well deserving a summer vacation, but don't stop practicing.